Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchisors one on one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Brian Petruzzi of the 1000 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza franchise. Serving customizable, authentic Neapolitan pizza on hand-tossed, never-frozen dough, and topped with more than 50 of the finest, freshest ingredients, 1000 Degrees Pizza perfectly captures American appeal and an old-world Neapolitan flavor. And we'll talk to Brian about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 9 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Brian Petrucci of the 1000 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza franchise, serving customizable, authentic Neapolitan pizza on hand-tossed, never-frozen dough and topped with more than 50 of the finest, freshest ingredients. 1000 Degrees Pizza perfectly captures American appeal and an old-world Neapolitan flavor. And we're going to go right into our interview with Brian. Right. That's fantastic. You know, we started the show 9 years ago, Brian, because we've always felt that, every franchise like yours has a story. And when I was researching your background, I was researching the concept, I said, oh, my God, we have to have you on the show. Maybe you could describe the history of 1000 Degrees Neapolitan Pizza.
Sure. So I started the company in 2014. The goal in this company was to bring Neapolitan pizza to the quick serve environment. Right, so as Americans trend towards quick serve, fresh serve, and fast casual style dining, I saw it. I my family is from Naples, so that's the type of pizza I've always grown up eating. I've had an affinity for a Neapolitan pizza. It's it's the original pizza, right? It's not what we're used to here in the States, but I originally was going to bring this out as a coal-fired concept. But the scalability of a coal-fired oven really wasn't there. As an experience, I have a self-serve yogurt franchise as well. I've worked with franchisees for quite a few years now. I really wanted something that was scalable. The guy in Florida can make the same thing we can make here and so on and so forth.
Right.
And so what we did is we went and we found what we thought was the best coal oven manufacturer. It's an Italian-American company, so they're based in the States, but they're also still shipping in refractory brick and parts and such from Italy. And we had them make us a custom proprietary oven, which is, it looks like a coal oven. It's 200 years old, but it has an iPad mini touchscreen and you can turn it on from your phone. So it looks like it's, back from the old country, but it's fantastic. It's the heart and soul of the whole entire restaurant. So with that, we also did a rotational floor. So we were the first pizza franchise, to my knowledge, that has had that. And we're doing a Neapolitan pizza. So, I don't know how familiar you are with Neapolitan, but if you're in Italy, it's going to be a 90-second pizza. It's going to be, a Tipo 00 flour. It's going to be hand-tossed. And, it's certainly not going to have the build-your-own or fast cash aspect to it, but it fits, right? It kind of meshes seamlessly with that. So what I really wanted to do was bring the best pizza that I think we could make to more of a franchise model. And so it just kind of all fit together really nicely. We do beer and wine in the stores that aren't in New Jersey. Unfortunately, in Jersey, we don't have that option because we have these $1 million-plus liquor licenses here, so we can't do that. But, wine on tap. Beer on tap, some IPAs, craft beers, local stuff, depending on where the restaurant's located, and just a really high-end pizza. We use a grande cheese, which is the best cheese money can buy, and it's grande is notorious. They're notorious for never selling to any chains. So we distribute all 50 states. Our products are distributed through U.S. Foods, and we had to go through some hurdles to get grande to put them in all the U.S. Foods houses across the states because their mission was always, we don't want to be chain. And we said, well, listen, we're going to be franchised, but this isn't modified cornstarch cheese kind of chain like you're, thinking about, and give us a shot. And I sat down with one of the founders of Grande myself, and he told me it was one of the best pizzas he's ever eaten and the best pizza he's had in years. And it was really cool. The man was in his 80s. He's been eating pizza, Jersey guy. That was the biggest thing. Our cheese is almost twice as expensive as the cheese that other chains use, but it's just such a different product. So, what we do as a franchise system is we just have a policy where we're not marking food up on our franchisees. We're able to put the franchisees head-to-head with a much better product than anybody else that's a franchise system. And more often than not, they're going to have a lower food cost. And when you look at the product separation, it's really not even close. And then, you know, if we can put them in the battle with a lower food cost than the guy serving modified cornstarch cheese across
right.
the street,
right.
You know, and there's obviously a lot more to it. But, you know, the Cliff Notes version is we really wanted to be able to bring the best pizza to a quick serve, create your own, you know, I want this, I want that on it, but using high-end stuff. We use Burke Farms for all of our meats. You know, we use a real 00 flour to make our dough. Another big separation in this brand and other brands in quick serve or fast casual is going to be that we're hand stretching. So when you walk into our restaurant, you're going to see someone at the front of the line, and you're going to see them stretching the dough. You're going to see that imported Neapolitan fork style mixer working with the big forks. We're not using, you know, a traditional Hobart or a hook style dough mixer like most brands.
Right,
so we're
right.
leaving a lot of air in that dough, and, you know, we're making it as authentic as we can. Now, we do kind of step a little bit away from traditional Neapolitan in wanting to appease the masses of mostly America, and we just did
right.
Malaysia, but we're starting to
right.
go international now. And so what we've done is we've kind of – it's still a Neapolitan dough recipe, but the way we do our proofing, the hydration rates and such are so that the center of the pizza is cooked. So we don't have a pizza that's undercooked in the center.
Right.
And again, I'm referencing if you're in Italy and you understand traditional Neapolitan, they're
right.
going to hand you a fork and a knife, and it's going to be raw in the middle, and you
right.
know they're going to you're going to ask for a slice, and they're going to look at you like you're you know from Mars. So you know we're different.
Yeah.
It maintains its integrity. You can pile
right.
protein and veggies on it, and you can still hold your slice of pizza without it folding or drooping. And so we really have a special product. You know, from soup to nuts. I think one of the biggest things I notice in our food reviews is, you know, not only is this the best pizza I ever had, but I don't eat crust and I love your crust. Or, you
wow.
know, my husband never eats crust and he finished my crust and his crust. You know, those kind of things.
Of course, right.
We just have a really good dough.
When did you realize, you know, it was the time to franchise? Brian, I mean, like, did you know from the beginning, you know, like, you knew you had something, like, you knew you had this great product, and, you know, I guess at some point you realized, you said, okay, I could take this thing national and international. When did you realize that franchising would be a good option for 1,000 Degree Neapolitan Pizza?
Well, originally, you know, when I built this system, again, referencing, you know, wanting to get away from a coal-fired oven but still have a coal-fired
right.
or a high-heat wood oven-style product, you know, I wanted to make sure systematically this would work as a franchise.
Right.
I think, you know, really, our first restaurant, we opened and we took over, we bought out a pizzeria that had been failing. They've been there for 7 years.
Wow.
You know, they had six other pizzerias. They've been around since 1952, traditional New York-style mom-and-pop shop. Six stores,
right.
like I said, but not a chain. You know, grandpa's working there, mom's working there, and they were failing. They were, you know, barely making their bills, all working 100 hours a week. We closed that restaurant down for 21 days and reopened with 1,000 Degrees, really only promoted on social media because, you know, how can
wow.
you schedule print ads in 21 days? They're usually a month or two ahead
right.
of time.
Exactly.
Really only social media driven. And that restaurant did... I think it was $100,000 the first 5 weeks, or it was crazy.
That's incredible.
It doubled what they did in the previous year on its fourth month, and it eclipsed what they did in the previous year, I think, in 6.5 weeks. So, and it was just all that type of feedback, you know. So we
wow.
replaced the slicery, which, as you know, you're from Jersey. There's sliceries
right.
on every corner. They're like gas
sure.
stations or,
exactly.
or tanning salon in the 90s. So... So,
yeah.
You know, when we saw the customer response and the lines around our store, and we had a Buffalo Wild Wings next to us and just wrapping around the building for the first 3 months, we said, you know, this is and that was the restaurant that we worked the kinks out on. So, you know, we definitely made mistakes, and we, you know, we
sure.
figured out our process and our, you know, simplified our process and every part of it in that restaurant. So, you know, we made the mistakes that you wouldn't typically make on restaurant number 4, 10, or 40. You know, we went through, you know, are we doing 11-inch pizzas? Are we doing 10s? And where's our price point need to land? And, you know, how can we get our food costs to be where we need it to be and still using these ingredients? So that was the really iron out the kinks deal. And that restaurant today is, you know, still doing very, very well. It's by far the busiest pizzeria in that city. And, you know, and restaurant number two did better than that. And then, you know, once we had two corporate units open, we really started to have a lot of franchise interest. And it really was, we didn't have a lot of units open. We had two units open, but every franchisee that came in would leave saying, this is the best pizza I ever had.
Right.
And
right.
we had that happen like 40 times in a row. And so we were selling franchises with just two units open. And so our first partners were a Michigan group, and they also did some Arizona stuff. And, you know, in the meantime, we sold quite a bit in New Jersey. And now we have well over 100 units under development. We had four open in the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, we just opened three different Michigan restaurants, and then we opened one at the Tanger Outlets in Mashantucket, which is Foxwoods Casino. In Connecticut, which is doing extremely well as well. So all of our openings have been just crazy, crazy busy, and they seem to be doing better on each one. We do some pretty pretty intense promotions. We do free pizza for a year for the first 10 people. So we have people camping out 5, 6, 7 days in tents in front of the restaurants. And and then so and we give away you know, social media has been a huge thing for us. We're really big on that. So we do 1,000 free pizzas, giving away 10 a day for the first 100 days that each restaurant is open. And that's just a viral social media thing to win. They have to just like and share the daily status, which announces, you know, that day's winners. And that's been a really big deal. As far as social media, our restaurants are opening with anywhere between 5 and 10,000 Facebook fans in each location. And unlike other brands, we do take the risk of giving each restaurant its own social media account. So they all have their own Facebook. And so you don't see a lot of national brands do that because there is some liability there. And, you know, we just have a system in place that we're very confident in that we can manage that. But, you know, the positive side of it is the upside is just so high. The ceiling on getting, you know, community integration and doing sponsored events and just things that can give back to the community. And, you know, and you have your finger on the pulse of your store in real time. If someone has a mistake or a bad experience, we know, you know, usually while they're in the restaurant. So, we can really fix that, you know, whoever made the mistake, wherever we failed the guest. And, you know, we're able to really stay on top of that. So, you know, it's a little bit of a liability, but it's a huge part of brand building and community integration. And so, you know, like I said, I mean, we had our New Jersey, as an example, Cherry Hill store opened. It had over 9,000 Facebook fans that lived in that city before it opened. You know, that's a really big thing for us is social media. We do a lot of Twitter. We do some of the new Instagram stuff now through Facebook. But,
you know,
Facebook, first and foremost, for us, is just a huge, just a great tool. And, you know, it's just so cost effective if you know how to do it right. So we have franchisees have their own, but then we offer as a service that we can manage their Facebook pages from our corporate headquarters. So we do a little bit of both. We have some that are managing on their own, and we have a good portion that we manage the page for them. And good, bad, everything. You know, they're kept abreast of it. You know, real time. But it's such a nice tool to have to be integrated to the community, and our Facebook reviews are, you know, we just had one open in Allen Park, Michigan. Their first 42 reviews were 5-star in a row.
Wow.
And it's pizza, so you don't expect 5. You expect a lot of 4s, even if everything's
exactly.
great. Exactly. It's still pizza. It's going real well.
It's interesting, Brian, because when my son, he'll eat, like, some of the, you know, the other types of pizza, you know, and I'll say, you know, that's not really pizza, you know, and I won't say any names, but, you know, some of the other companies, but, you know, it's like eating cardboard, you know, and I say to him all the time, I say, that's not pizza. I mean, when you've had true, you know, Neapolitan pizza, I mean, there is nothing like it. What I got out of, you know, when I was reviewing your business model as well, is 1,000 Degrees is also an experience, isn't it? I mean, when you go into, you know, one of your restaurants, the customers also get an experience, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge part of it is the experience. They should be welcome as soon as they come in, but, you know, they kind of, you know, you're eating with your eyes, and when you see the guy toss on the dough and you see it, and it literally cooks in 2 minutes. So when you go through building the pizza, there's not just like 4 cheeses. There's 9 to 10 cheeses. And so you're picking different stuff, and you're able to get fresh mozz. And we do even, you know, even our specialty pizzas, we have like the Philly. It's a, you know, crazy spin on a cheese steak, balsamic caramelized onion jam. But our cheese blend there is a provolone mozzarella whole milk. So it has that little sharpness of the priv, and then when we top it with the ribeye, it's just a great pizza. So you're
wow.
watching them make it, whether you make it yourself or order it on your own. They're making it right in front of you. And since it's a two-minute cook time and it's a revolving oven, you know, there's other fast casual brands that are, you know, they're saying that their cook time's 3-4 minutes. It's really 5-6. When you see it cook in 2 minutes and it's two revolutions and it's a minute, you see it go in raw, and then you watch your crust. You can see it.
Yeah.
It's in your line of sight. So the ovens are always positioned. So as, you know, as you're making the pizza, you see them. As you're ordering your pizza, you see the pizzas turning. And you can see it. You see the crust rise. You see it start to, you know, bubble. You start to see the char on the outside of it. So it is really cool experience. And getting it in 2 minutes, like you have your soda and your pizza's bringing, you know, as soon as you're sitting down,
we're
bringing the
That's
pizza
incredible.
Out to your table for you. So it is. And, you know, while we're bringing it out, so we're more of a fresh serve and not just the fast cash. So we're a fresh cash as much as we're going to be fast, because we are serving the pizza to you at your table. And at that time, that's when our staff's able to say, do you need anything else? Do you want any, you know, hot pepper seeds, or do you want, you know, whatever? Do you want some different cheeses or some oregano or whatever you're going to want to put on your pizza? So it is, you know, it's still a lot of human contact, which is important. You know, we have franchisees ask us, you know, you have iPads on the wall and they can do Facebook and stuff. How come, you know, customers can't order off the iPads? And, you know, that's because we want them to interact with our staff.
Right,
you know,
right.
We want you to feel like it's the perfect pizza. So you should never say, hey, my pizza didn't have enough hot sausage on it, because we're going to say to you, how does that look? And you're going to say, I want more or I want less.
Wow.
And we also can control the quality. So if someone says, I want extra cheese, and then they say, I want more, we're able to say, we can put as much cheese as you want, but it's not going to be crispy in the center if you want to put, you know, a mountain of cheese on it. We can do it. And that way, we know if there's ever, especially when a restaurant's its first 5 to 7 days, it's very new, if we ever have a complaint and it's something about, you know, my pizza was doughier, we know exactly what it was, because we know that the portion control wasn't used, or, you know, I didn't get enough sausage. Well, our first response is going to be, did they ask you how it looked? And if they say no, then we say, okay, well, it's a guest service issue, you know, and we fix that. But yeah, it's an important part of it. You know, the interaction and the experience is an important part of it. And, you know, it's funny, people, and even breadsticks, it sounds so simple, but the breadsticks showcase that real Neapolitan dough. And, you know, it's funny. You'll see reviews like, the breadsticks were out of this world. And it's just a breadstick, you know.
Exactly.
But we do a cheese breadstick. We do 4 cheeses. We do some extra virgin olive oil on top, some oregano. But they're just such a great breadstick. And, you know, everything, like even our sauces. We have a great San Marzano marinara that we make, but we also have a sriracha version of that. So it's spicy. It has the heat. It has that sriracha. You can just taste it. You know, all of our stuff's just, you know, what we think is going to be the best you're going to have. When you have our buffalo chicken pizza, we think it's going to be the best buffalo chicken pizza you ever had. If it's not, then we did something wrong. You know, we really try to take every pizza, whether it's create your own or specialty off the menu, to that next level, where I feel, as the founder of the company, that it's the best, you know, whatever it is, it's the best meatball pizza you're going to have in that city. And that's kind of where we, I think, separate as a chain, because, you know, I don't really know of chains that are really sitting down going, you know, we got to have the best.
Right.
They're not. It's just not like that. And so
we
really do want to have the best pizza that we can have. And if we don't, then we're going to go back and we're going to figure out why it wasn't and how we can fix it. And, you know, that's kind of the mission of the brand, to do that. And, you know, in fast cash, quick serve, which is what we are essentially, Most brands, almost all brands that I can think of in pizza, they're using a dough press.
Right.
So the dough's pre-cooked before it goes in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it's pizza,
right.
But it's, to me, it's not pizza. And so we're different there. You know, we really want to separate on that. We'd never use a dough press or a sheeter. If you don't eat it while it's hot, it's going to be a rock hard in, you know, 20 minutes. And, you know, our pizza, you can heat up. I mean, I say this because when I go to Discovery Day, once to twice a week, we have 3 to 4 franchisee partners come in a day and tour the restaurant. You know, we feed them till they're going to burst. and they experience, you know, both sides of it, from, you know, ops, guest service, you know, just everything, sitting back, watching the customers, how they experience a lunch service and such. And I'm always bringing pizzas home. And travability of Neapolitan pizza, typically you don't see that. They just don't go together. They think Neapolitan pizza doesn't travel more. Ours does. It travels. Ours travels very well. And it reheats very well. So I'm typically eating our pizza with my family when it's, you know, been cooked at noon, and I'm cooking it at 6 p.m. When I come home, I'm just reheating it. And, you know, my wife and kids have only had our pizza when I make it.
Right.
Or, you know, at the restaurant. I have four kids, so we're an hour and a half away from the closest restaurant. Until next year, we actually have one opening in the county, in Atlantic County, where we live.
Okay.
We'll have one soon. But, you know, it's just the focus on quality from soup to nuts. And the other thing is we do the 14-inch pizza. So we do a family size.
That's not in quick
serve at all. And that really doesn't exist in fast casual at all. We're all doing 10 or 11-inch dough-crust pizzas, and that's it. And so and that's a huge part of it, you know. We're not just trying to – obviously, most of our lunch service is going to be that – you know, Generation X, millennial crowd, you know, in a lot of offices and stuff, depending on where the store is located. But our dinner service is, you know, we don't have an age demographic for dinner. We're 18 to 80, you know, and at dinner it's mostly, and I just say that because I'm looking at it from the QSR perspective.
Sure,
These guys are really lunch-based. They do some dinner, but if you have a family of four, you're going to leave with four pizzas and you're going to drop $40. Where with us, you're going to leave with two, and they're going to be 14 inches, and, you know, so we do both.
Right.
And I would say dinner service, we're probably just about 50-50 on the 10-inch and the 14-inch size.
Wow. Maybe we could talk a little bit about franchising, Brian. I mean, what do you look for then in your prospective franchisees? I mean, I imagine, again, like you said, you've had a lot of people, they come into the place and they say, wow, I'd love to own one of these. What do you typically look for? What type of characteristics or traits do you look for in your franchisees?
First and foremost, we really want people that appreciate what we're doing in terms of the food. So I can't tell you how many franchisees we have come in, and they just don't care about the food quality. So they like it, but they really don't care, and they're not going to be involved. And, you know, and so that for us, that's because, you know, during our discovery day, there's obviously a lot of interviewing going on both sides of the table. One of the biggest things we want are people that are focused on quality. We want franchisees that want to have integrity in their product. They don't just want to make money. They don't just want to have the local pizzeria, but they bought into this brand because they want to have the best product wherever they go.
Right.
Those are the franchisees that are going to pay the most attention to the product in the end. Those are the ones that are going to go, you know what, that's not right, because they're not using portion control on this or that, and that's why that happened. And that's, you know, that's a huge thing for us. Obviously, we want a lot of business experience. We want franchisees that have owned their own businesses. We want franchisees that, you know, we definitely look for food restaurant experience, but we really want the business experience, the understanding, the understanding of marketing and advertising and just the general things.
That's okay. You know, it's interesting. I mean, it almost sounds like, you know, you're describing, you know, people that are almost, you know, like yourself, Brian. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you've had all this business experience. You know, you have a strong background in social media and marketing. You're definitely an entrepreneur. And you're looking for somebody who wants to sell that highest quality type of pizza. You know what I mean? So I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
What happens when, you know, someone says, you know, you like them, they like you, and they decide to come on board and be a franchisee? How does the training work, Brian? Do they come down to New Jersey? Is that typically where the training happens?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be closest to where you're at geographically.
Right.
You know, we're mainly training in New Jersey to start, but then we're going to come out to your location. So if you're from, we have Austin, Texas opening in a month as an example. They will be down here in a couple weeks, and they'll spend 10 days with us. There's quite a bit of training, not just operations, but just business management, marketing, advertising. There's a whole lot to it. And then from there, you know, normally they're going to bring their team. You know, we're gonna welcome as many people. If you want to bring 35 people in to train, we'll train 35 people. There's no charge there. So, and if you want to stay and train for 35 days and take the training session 3.5 times over, you can. We're fine with that. You know, we have no problem with that. We know that that's first and foremost so important. And, you know, it's a keystone of success, especially on their first restaurant, is getting the training in for not just the owners, but the managing partners and everybody in between. We really do like our owners to train, even if they're not going to be hands-on owners. We do want them to understand why we do certain things and, you know, the ramifications of following them right and not following them and deviating from some of the system and what can happen from that. So we definitely we prefer to do the training here at one of the corporate units, or we'll do a local franchisee unit, depending on where they're flying into and where they're coming from. And then when your restaurant gets its certificate of occupancy, and a few days before then, we're going to come out, and then we do a full-on retrain of all your staff, whether they've been there, whether they've come out with you or not. And then we're going to stay there for your first 7 to 10 days of business. And so what we normally do is we'll do a soft opening, and then 4 to 5 days from there is when we have the grand opening scheduled.
Right.
And from the grand opening, that's when it's just kind of crazy nuts. 2,000 customers at least on the first day.
Wow.
And it's crazy. So we want to overlap for that grand. We want to make sure that our team is on the line with your team, because you're going to serve 2,000 people in 12 hours. It happens every time, and you're going to tell another 500 people that came out that, hey, sorry, it's 11 o'clock at night. We're going to give you a coupon to come back and get a free pizza whenever you'd like because you came out, and we appreciate that. So that's, and then we overlap that. So we stay a good 3-4 days from there. And then, you know, there's just constant contact. Every franchisee in our system has my personal cell phone number. Not that they're going to call me with, I got a question on flour, but they have it, and they know that they can contact me if they need to. But, they're going to have contacts for ops and marketing and, graphic design artists to help with the marketing and guest service and anything and everything in between. So we really do treat them and their stores like they're our own. And if you talk to any of our franchisees, they're going to tell you, I don't know if it's, I don't know if Brian realizes that, he doesn't personally own the store, because he calls me and checks on me, once a week. And, any questions I have, he's right there. I can call him on a Sunday afternoon and, he'll answer the phone. Even if he's, playing with his kids, he'll take the time to try to spend some time with me. And, if I can, I'm usually readily available in one business day. So, it's not to say they don't have dozens of people that they can call, but they always can still, they can always still contact the owner if they need to. And that's, an important part of, having that family aspect to the franchise. And as we grow, obviously, franchisees are put in connection with one another. And, we have franchisees in Michigan. We have 3 different groups out there now, and they all are in constant contact. In fact, we're bringing a 4th group on, which is a Sky Zone franchisee, one Sky Zone franchisee of the year last year. So we're excited to have these guys. They're opening up in Grand Rapids area. They're doing their first 3. And we've already linked them up, and they've already met the other 3. So, it's a family kind of thing, and, they can what's working for so-and-so, and obviously there's a lot more than that. There's local co-op advertising funds and different things like that that we bring into play as units open in proximity to one another.
That's great. The majority of our listeners, Brian, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. I mean, most of the people that listen to our show and podcast, they know that they want to go into franchising, but we find that a lot of them simply just don't know where to begin because there's so much out there today. And, from your background, I mean, everything that I studied about you, I mean, you certainly have all the characteristics and traits of an entrepreneur. What advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
I think the first thing is you got to pick something that you're going to want to do and you're going to like doing, because you're going to be involved in it. It sounds like your listeners are more of the scale of the ones that are, kind of getting into it. The ones that are, into 12 franchise probably don't have as much time to listen to the radio like I do, because I don't know the last time I did. The aspiring franchise entrepreneur, I think the first thing is to find something that you really like and that you're going to be passionate about, because you're going to live it. And, there was a time in my life, I've been with my wife since we were 14 years old. And I remember in my late teens, early 20s, I was, self-made millionaire as 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting through double major in college and, you know, sending emails out to my staff and running my business as while I'm sitting here trying to pay attention to class.
Right.
And I just remember the time of when you think of your business as business and, you know, you have to separate it and you have that constant separation between business and life and business and life.
Right.
And, you know, some point, I don't know when it happened, it became part of my life and it wasn't something that took over my life or detracted
right.
from my life, but it was something that we understood that it was an enjoyable part of my life. And maybe that's when I, you know, got
right.
into the companies that I really had a passion for and I really loved founding and, you know, being in there day to day. And I'm the first one to the office. I'm the last one to leave. And I'm the one
wow.
that's, you know, in between checking emails at the red light that you're beeping at. So I
right.
know, like, I live my business, but I also have four kids, and I think that hopefully they'd say I'm the best dad ever because I'm that part as much as I can, too. But
right.
they also,
right.
they know what's going on with the business. I have an 11-year-old that can set up a Twitter ad campaign for you in 3 minutes with her eyes closed. Geotarget is better than the guy
wow.
from Twitter that gives you your, you know, once-a-month, 90-day call, so, or once every 3 month call, I should say. So, you know, it's part of it. So finding something that you really like. And then when you start looking into brands, you really have to look at what does it cost. This is just the way I think of it. What does
right.
it cost to open that unit? What's it realistically cost? Is that
right.
does that burger concept really cost $950,000 for 2,800 square foot inline
right.
space, or does it really cost $350,000? And if it's, you know, $354,000, why is the cost to get into this unit $950,000 per unit, and there's a 10-store minimum, and I have to pay up front on it. You know, that's a, you know, and I say that because I know, you know, I'm certainly not in the sales position in this company any longer, but,
right.
or my other companies, but that's one of the things I would always have people ask themselves, you know, why is it that if you want to get into that pizza brand and you've just tried our food and you've said that our pizza's not even close, it's 100 times better, why is he $755 to open a restaurant, and why am I between 150 and 400 and
right.
the last three
right.
stores landed on the, you know, the lower side of three? How does that happen? Well, I'm not in the business of selling stores. And so when
right.
you think of stuff like that, where does the franchise derive its revenue from? Is it selling stores, or is it long-term royalty because they believe in what they do and their product, and they think that the probability of success because of everything they put together, you know, their process is what it should be. And that's kind of the way that I would look at it. I would say to myself, you know, and that doesn't mean that there aren't expensive ventures that are very lucrative, but when you're getting into something and you're looking at doing your first unit, and you're that franchisee that's that under $500,000 venture that they're looking for, and in food, there's not a lot of those. That's one of the things that I focus on. And then the second thing is, where does the food cost lie, and do I believe that, and again, I'm referencing food, where does the food cost lie, and do I believe that that's the quality food I should be serving at that cost?
Right.
You know, I don't want to reference other brands, but, you know, sandwich brands. There's sandwich brands that are franchises, and they go into areas. You're from New Jersey. You can appreciate this. We have sub shops on every corner.
Right.
You know, some
right.
of them have absolutely fantastic subs, and they're $7-$8. Then there's other ones that are $6, and they're a chain, but it's not the same quality.
Right.
And cheeses
yeah.
and breads. It's just not even close. And whose food costs are higher? Well, oftentimes the chain has a higher food cost on the franchisee and, you know, a substandard product. And, you know, those are two, you know, really big things
mm-hmm.
that I think. And then the other thing is the brand young? Is the brand old? Is the brand in between? Where is the brand in its growth pattern?
Right.
You know, I have a frozen yogurt chain as well. And, you know, that got so crowded at some point that we still franchise. But we're,
mm-hmm.
again, it's the same as 1,000 Degrees, where we're not selling stores. So we're not looking to make money off of you building your restaurant. We know that it looks
right.
better than every other restaurant. Our yogurt chain put almost every other national brand, most from the West Coast, out. They're all gone. We have stores that had 7 competitors that now have none. And they're still rolling and doing well. But there's a lot of reasons. You know, I don't want to put my franchisees behind the eight ball where they're, you know,
right.
not going to be in the black till year 4. My goal is to have them in the black by the end of the first year if I can do it. And obviously nothing's guaranteed, but we do everything we can do to try to make their cost out of pocket as low as possible. We look at their marketing budget and we want to make sure that it's an effectively spent marketing budget. We don't want to, you know, we're not going to overspend. If we don't think you're getting that ROI, we're not putting it into action. And,
right.
you know, just looking at stuff like that, you know, where's the brand at? Is it oversaturated? Is there, you know, is there 700 of these already in my state? And if I want one, I got to find a, I got to drive 2.5 hours to another state,
right.
an area that I have
right.
no idea about, because there's a lot of brands that are at that stage too. And, you know, the other thing is talking about geography, how close is the brand putting their restaurants, if it's a restaurant, I should say, or whatever
yeah.
it is there, you know, are they oversaturating their market? Are they forcing development schedules down your throat that are unobtainable unless you want to choose low end or, you know, what we would call B minus or C real
mm-hmm.
estate? We're not looking at those spots. And, you know, part of oversaturation is you force people into those spots. And we can,
right.
we can, I'm sure you can think of quite a few fast cash food brands that have done that.
Sure.
And what happens? The franchisee ends up having six
right.
stores. He's making less money than he made when he had
mm-hmm.
two. He's working six times as hard. Store one and two are paying for the losses. So we're not looking for that. We don't just do a rule of thumb with 1,000 degrees on geographic. We have a set, and then we adjust based on pop density. So, you know, if you're in North Dakota, you might get 7 miles. If you're in New York City,
right.
you might get a city block. You know, and it's all going to be based on each individual. And it doesn't just go state by state. It goes city by city. And you know, really it goes by the pop density of the exact area that we're targeting, you know, and that's kind of how we spread that apart. So those are, you know, 3-4 real important things that I think people should look at, you know, and obviously success, how talk to the franchisees, see how they're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
see how the franchisees that are not just open, I mean, they might be doing great, but talk to the franchisees that are in the process of opening. Talk to some of the franchisees that are in the site selection process. See what their stories are. Are they excited, or have they been signed for 6 months and they haven't been shown a property to look at yet? You know, these are all things that are important. Just doing your homework and ask a lot of questions when you apply for a franchise, because the good franchisors are hoping that you ask those questions. So don't
right.
think that you're being a pain in the behind, or you're being over analytical,
right.
or just you're not, you know, that's what we, you know, it's funny when people say, I hope this isn't, we say, no, ask more, because this is important
right.
to us. You know,
sure,
our meetings
absolutely.
After you leave us, a lot of that revolves around what did you ask us, and not just, you know, how did you answer when we asked you things, because we want to know that you're doing your homework, because that says a lot about the individual as well.
That's great. No, I think that's fantastic advice. So I could ask you the final question, Brian, because I mean, you're the founder of the company. I mean, where do you see 1,000 degrees, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road?
You know, just nationally speaking, I would say next year we're going to be, by the end of 2016, probably around 80 units open. We could be as high as 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the growth pattern is just going to follow suit. So 3 years from now, I'd like to say 400 to 500 restaurants open. 5 years, we can certainly be over 1,000. The growth is exponential once you reach a certain point. So somewhere in that neighborhood, again, we're not looking to have 25,000 restaurants on every
right.
corner.
Right.
We're just not. We can work in most markets. I mean, you know, we've
mm-hmm.
have restaurants that are in literally the poorest county of the state of New Jersey that kick butt. And we have ones that are in super rich areas as well. We have ones where the pop density is only 29,000 people in 5 miles. And we have restaurants that have 29,000 people in 1 mile.
Right.
You know, it has to fit the mold. But, you know, so we really can go, I don't want to say anywhere, but we can go almost anywhere in the country, just obviously finding the right, you know, population density niches we need. But we can work in reasonable pop density, and the income level to us really doesn't seem to affect us, because we're such a, you know, we're dinner quality or better product at lunch quality price. So I would say, you know, 3 years from now, we could be at, you know, 500 to 600-700 stores, and, you know, maybe 1,000 stores or more 5 years. International wise, we just, our first restaurant in Malaysia opened a few weeks ago, doing very well. They just signed their second lease. We're working with groups in Dubai right now and Qatar. So we're looking to do some of the UAE. We do have some interest from Pakistan, doing a custom deep dish version of our pizza for those guys, just a little bit different as to what they're looking for. And so, you know, international to us, we'll really see where that goes. We know in Malaysia it's been on fire. I mean, as far as same type of feedback, slightly different menus, slightly different variation,
right,
using different spices and such on their sauces.
Mm-hmm.
If you see any of the national chain brands out there and you think they're okay food out here, and then you read their menu in Malaysia, you go, wow, they took it to a whole other level. So it's different spices and stuff like
right.
that. So it's pretty interesting stuff. You know, so somewhere in that neighborhood, we are not looking to force growth. So
right.
we're really just looking for the right partners in the right spaces with the right experience that fit our mold. And, you know, we go from there. So we're not forced. We don't have any forced crazy trajectory right now, but we do have 300 to 400 franchise inquiries a week.
Wow.
Of those, we usually schedule 12 or more discovery days, meaning we really found a dozen people that we like enough to bring in, we think might be a match for one another, that like us and
right.
us as much as we like them. And, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it's been great, because the amount of franchise interest we have as a brand is just so high that I feel like we really can be selective with just finding the right people. And it's, again, I just go back to the same thing. It's not the biggest groups. It's certainly not.
Right.
It's the right groups. And it's not groups always. It's a husband and wife, or it's brothers,
right, right.
or it's cousins, or, you know, just the right people, though.
It sounds like you're in a nice position, because you're not under this pressure to, as you said, you know, sell thousands of franchises, you know, and I think that's really what makes franchising work is, and again, you know better than I do, because you've been doing it such a long time, is you know, just finding that right fit, that right franchisee. It certainly takes the pressure off, and you could say no probably to a lot more people than you say yes, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what's great. And my sales team, one of our VP of sales, I have known since I was 7 years old. So I can't say enough about how everybody in this brand, the culture is so tight, and it's just a tight-knit group. And even as we expand, we just bring in people that fit our culture. And so everybody's on the same page there. You know, we don't have the issue where the sales guys are trying to drive franchisees into the system that we wouldn't want to work with because they don't have the experience, or they're so absentee that they're not even in the country, or you know, there's many
right.
different things like that. We don't have that. I can't tell you the last time I had somebody that, you know, my sales team recommended that I didn't like. I mean, that probably hasn't happened in
right.
years. So yeah, it's a great advantage, and it's fun coming to work.
That's great. What's the best way for our listeners, Brian, to get more information on 1000 Degrees? Any websites that you'd like them to go to?
Just the corporate website. Yeah, just
1000degreespizza.com.
It's just 1000 degrees plural. pizza.com, and then there's a franchise section on the top right. In there you'll see a lot of the PR stuff, a lot of the news.
Mm-hmm.
We're on TV all the time when we open, so a lot of the news clips are on there. In fact, we opened the morning show the other day in Detroit, had
oh, wow.
pizza on
that's great.
Stage, so
oh,
yeah,
that's
that
great.
Stuff's on there, a lot of press releases, and then just there's a huge Q&A section on there, franchise fact, just a lot of different
mm-hmm.
stuff, so on there, and then, you know, from there, if they're interested, they fill out an app, they'll get a call from typically 1 to 2 business days from one of the franchise sales teams, and they do a phone interview and go from there.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Brian, for coming on the show. I've been wanting to interview you for some time now, so it's great to finally have the chance to talk to you, especially someone from New Jersey, and when I get down that way, someday I'm gonna look you guys up.
Absolutely. Feel free to give me a call. We'll set up a time to meet and have some pizza. I appreciate your time as well.
Fantastic, Brian. Great to talk to you. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Franchise Interviews has been hosting Franchise Interviews for almost 6 years now and almost 300 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Art Cole, who is the president of Alpha Graphics, and Art has a wonderful quote. He says that franchising is one of the greatest inventions for small business, and he kind of expands why, so here we go.
Fantastic program. I mean, when I saw it, I said I thought this was very exciting for you guys, you know, and it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, it sounds like your franchise partners are certainly going to appreciate something like this, and I guess that's the benefit of getting into franchising as well, isn't it, Art? You know, is to, you know, have a program like this, you know, a very strong program that the franchisees can really benefit from.
Yeah, I tell you, Marty, you know, you said something earlier. You know, I was saying earlier about, you know, that nearly 10 years of restaurant ownership.
Mm-hmm.
There were months, Marty, and we were not a franchise. There
yeah.
were months, Marty, where I begged for somebody to send a royalty check to, because I thought, man, if somebody could bring me some turnkey marketing programs, if somebody
exactly.
could bring me some training solutions that were already ready to go for the employees and how to hire them and who's the right person, how to recruit them, if somebody could bring me a process for creating more traffic at my restaurant or
right.
operational workflow and checklist. Marty, I believe, you know, and I've had people, you know, great people like, you know, Bud Hadfield, and I can, you
yeah.
know, go down the list of just the names of people that have, you know, are in my cell phone that I can call anytime. I mean, John Luther over at Dunkin' Brands and Jim Amos, who,
right.
you know, led mailboxes, et cetera, and you know
yeah.
all these names. I think they
oh, yeah.
I'm honored to be on your show today just knowing those guys.
Thank you.
People like that are people that you've interviewed. But,
yes.
You know, franchising, I believe, is the greatest invention for small business ownership.
Yeah.
Because franchising doesn't change the fact that you're still a small business owner.
Exactly.
All franchising should do, I mean, my job as president of Alpha Graphics is to take people who have decided they want to be a small business owner and they want to do it in this arena of providing visual communication solutions, whether that's some document solutions or marketing solutions. But my job as president of Alpha Graphics is just simply to take the hurdles that may be 6 feet high if you're out there on your own trying to do it yourself, and let's take them down to 6 inches. The hurdles
yeah.
are still there. You're still going to have employee issues. You're still going to have operational issues. You still need to have somebody. You're still going to deal with your financials and your business. And I think sometimes prospective franchisees forget that.
Yes.
They forget that they're still they may possibly think the franchisor is going to take those problems away. And there are some that we do remove off the table, but for the most part, they're all still there. We just have systems and approach and coaching and support to help you manage that. And now it's a little speed bump in the road in the road instead of a, you know, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.